Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In today's program, I'm going to give you the comparison of the Old Covenant promises against the New Covenant promises. In previous programs, I covered the better promises, which are God and the Church through the Holy Spirit, versus the lesser promise of God with Israel, the better promise of the law written on our minds and hearts versus the lesser promise of the law written on two tables of stone, the better promise of a multitude of sins forgiven versus the lesser promise of a multitude of descendants given, the better promise of righteousness imputed and royalty bestowed versus the lesser promise of royal lineage and Israel being the lead nation in the world, the better promise of the church being the first fruits of those resurrected from the dead to eternal life versus physical prosperity, good health, and long life. And of course, the promises that are the better promises are the new covenant promises, where the lesser promises are the old covenant promises. And in today's program, we're going to cover the last two in this series, and that better promise is God gives us victory over Satan, society, and self, whereas the lesser promise is God gives Israel victory over its enemies, and then the better promise of Christians inheriting the world versus Israel inheriting the promised land. So let's start out with God giving us victory over Satan, society, and self versus God giving Israel victory over its enemies. Please, if you would, turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, and we'll read verses 22 through 24. This is Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verses 22 through 24. Here it says, "The Lord God will drive out nations before you little by little, but he will deliver them to you and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until their name be removed from under heaven. There shall no more be a man able to stand before you. You shall destroy your enemies." That's a good promise, but listen to this one. In Romans 8, verses 29 through 27, God says, "Those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that Christ may be the first of many born into God's family. Moreover, those whom God predestinated, he also called, then justified, then glorified. Therefore, if God be for us, who can be against us?" And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, this is in the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome the evil spirits, because greater is he that is in you, Jesus the Christ, than he that is in the world, Satan the devil." And then finally, in the first epistle of John, verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 4, this is the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "Whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith that convicts us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So again, which would you prefer to have? Victory over your enemies, temporary military victories, or victories over Satan, society, and self? Victory to the point that we will be with God forever. I know which one I prefer. And now for the final promise in this series, the better promise, inheriting the world versus the lesser promise of inheriting the promised land. For the lesser promise, let's turn over to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and we'll start reading in verse 1. This is Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 1. "You shall keep all the commandments which I spoke to you, that you may live," yes, live, "and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord promised to your fathers." So Israel was promised that they would be able to live in this land, and of course in a previous program I showed how they had great prosperity, but that's nothing at all compared to being able to inherit the world. So for the better promise, let's turn over to Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 5. This is the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then in Revelation 21, verse 7, the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Not just inheriting the promised land, but inheriting all things. So there you have it. After hearing a comparison between the promises of the Old Covenant and the promises of the New Covenant, if you could only pick one set of promises, which set would it be? Well, surely, my friends, you said the New Covenant. But why? Why would you pick those set of promises? Well, because I hope you would agree that, like it says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, that the New Covenant was established upon better promises, and we saw those better promises. So to summarize all of the programs I've given so far on the Old and New Covenants, let's review the one covenant given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and see that it had two parts, physical promises and spiritual promises. To do that, let's turn over first to Genesis, the 12th chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. This is Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 7. The Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, away from your family, into a land that I will show you." Physical promise so far. "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. To your seed will I give this land of Canaan." Physical blessings. And again, in previous programs, I showed a lot more in depth how it went on to say that Israel would have an abundance of seed, that they would have great prosperity, that they would be the lead nation in the world, that kings would come out of their loins. All physical and all great promises. But in this phrase is wrapped up all of the better promises, the spiritual promises. "And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." Please keep in mind that all-important phrase. Every time you see that, you know that it refers to the better spiritual promises of the New Covenant. I'll read that again. "And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed." But you might be saying, well, how do I know that that refers to spiritual promises of the New Covenant? Okay, let me prove it to you. Let's turn over to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and we'll read verses 1 through 16. Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. And we're not actually going to read all of this for the sake of time, but this is the reference. Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. "This only would I learn of you," Paul asks, of Christians. "Did you receive the Spirit?" And I say the Holy Spirit. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law?" In other words, through the Old Covenant, doing whatever you could of your own natural accord. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law? Or did you receive the Holy Spirit by the hearing of faith?" And that's what the New Covenant is all about, accepting the promises of God by faith. Paul goes on to kind of chide them by saying, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit," so they did receive the Spirit, "and they began in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" In other words, if you receive the Spirit by faith, are you now going to try to keep the Spirit by works of the law, by the flesh, by your own power? That's foolishness. Paul goes on to say, "Abraham believed God. He had faith in God. That's why it was accounted to him for righteousness." He didn't have his own righteousness. It was accounted to him. "Know you therefore that they which are of faith," and I hope that's you, my friends. I hope it's me. "Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the spiritual children of Abraham." The same are the children of Abraham, but obviously the spiritual children of Abraham. I don't believe that I'm a physical child of Abraham, but indeed I am a spiritual child of Abraham, and that's the gist of this scripture here. Now here comes the important part. And the scripture foreseeing that God would do what? Justify the heathen through faith. And justification is forgiveness of sins. So foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel to Abraham. And what is this gospel? The good news. What is it? Saying, in your seed shall all nations be blessed. Now again, how do we know that this seed is Jesus Christ? Well, let the Bible explain it for itself. Let's continue. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. But he doesn't say seeds as in plural. It's singular. And to your seed, which is Christ. So another way of saying it is, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in your seed, Jesus Christ, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That's why we can have these better promises. It's because they come through Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ living in us, we are empowered to receive all of the blessings of God and be successful in everything God has for us to do. So again, if you don't remember anything else from this series of scriptures and programs that we've been going through, please remember Galatians the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16, where it explains beyond a shadow of a doubt that the phrase, in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, refers to the spiritual promises. And whenever you read that phrase, you will never see it in reference to the physical nation of Israel. It was always in reference to the church. So when you read in the book of Genesis, as we did, chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, the promise as it was first given to Abraham, and it said that he would be a great nation, or his descendants would grow into a great nation, that his name would be great, that his seed would receive the land of Canaan. Remember that that's all the physical blessings and promises. But when it says, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed, that's the spiritual promises. Now the question remains, I've asked this before, but let me ask it again. Why did God make two covenants? Well, it's because God had two very important lessons to teach us. The first lesson, which is the lesson of the old covenant, which God made with the nation of Israel, is that God would give everything physical, and God would even be with them, but they would still fail. The lesson of the new covenant is that you might not have anything physical, no physical blessings at all, but the one spiritual blessing, Christ living in you, would guarantee your success in all things that God has for you to do. My friends, it is so beautiful to know that there are two covenants, the old covenant that led to the new covenant, and that new covenant is based upon better promises. The promise that in your seed, Jesus Christ, shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So it is not only God with us, it is God in us that will make us successful. In the next series of programs, I'm going to reveal exactly how God used the old covenant to lead us to the new covenant. Thanks for joining me. May God be in you.